And this is where parliamentary committees, and that sustainability and security elements play an extremely important oversight role, because it's quite difficult from the state to see what is happening on the ground. I have seen the report done by parliamentary research team. Chairperson, we would some of what's in the report we agree with, some of what they don't. We would want the opportunity to be able to respond at some point, probably after the input from the civil society. What is apparent is that the number of children entering the system is increasing. I visited the Regional One Stop Shop Centre in Port Elizabeth, and it's an anecdotal story I'm going to tell, but that's one of the One Stop Centres, and the magistrate and staff there told me that prior to the implementation of the Child Rights Act, a large number of children used to be charged, used to come into the system from the two police stations, I think it's the area of the police station. And that figure has dropped substantially. And nobody was thinking here why, and that's maybe something that you should be looking at, but the view from the people at the One Stop Centre was that it was probably concerned by the police of not knowing how the act works. I then asked about training, and they said that they had been doing training at police. The problem then was quite a change in the staff, so we trained some police and then things would change. But if there's a problem of police not being confident in the act and therefore not charging children if they hear that nothing will happen to them. There's the issue of preliminary assessments, and again, the slight increase. Those who probably know have to be conducted by probation officers or social workers. One of the issues that we, when we're dealing with the bill, very strong on with social development, do you have enough social workers? And they kept assuring us that they did. I'm not sure what the position is now. I think that's still the DSP position, but I've heard that other welfares are questioning whether that is the case or not. And that preliminary assessment is going to take place before the child goes to the preliminary inquiry goes to court. In one place, on an oversight trip, it was the child that came into the case. It was coming up in this, not the main station, sort of suburb station. And the patient and the committee, or the National Standing Committee, they were saying that the social worker didn't want to come to the patient to conduct the assessment. They rather want to wait until the child is brought to court to conduct the assessment there. Now, part of the assessment is assessing the family situation. So those issues also should be looked at. The issue of legal aid representation during the preliminary inquiry, that you know that is not a requirement in that. And I think legal aid needs to report on that. There is the issue of awaiting trial prisoners, children of working in custody and in immigration facilities. The number in terms of the response to parliamentary question was about 350 at one point. I'm told that the figure is now under 200, so it's dropped. But the question is still seen, why are those children being held in prison and not in a secure care facility? And some of the opinions, I mean, this is given only one or two children, but a child in custody, I think 16-year-old, waiting trial in prison for crimes like cross-sex assault. Not a 14-year-old, sort of, two kids. There are issue of chronic diversion going. Is the system able to pick up, the social development able to tell us whether the children going through diversion are a part of keeping the program? Because the indication of the whole child justice act is if the child does not comply with the program, but then they can come back to the system. That it's not an issue of you get diagnosis and actually don't worry about it, you don't have to fulfill requirements of the program. What are the levels of syllabus. And that's something really experts in the area have here. Obviously, it's an issue of looking at the figures of those from the attendees, whether they did complete their programs for the syllabus to look at. The number of kids, child students from prison is has been dropping, so I'm following up to 3 years, 12, 94, 2014, 15, down to 39. There is also a question of secure care facilities, and I would hope you would go into the problems of the issue of secure care facility experience. But I think the question that needs to be looked at is the intention is not to separate children from their families as much as possible in terms of citizens of their care facilities. But given the number of children who are being taken to stay in correctional or in secure care facilities, do those numbers justify facilities possible all over the country? I mean, the leash facility contains a large number of children. I'm told that we only have 35 children in this county. Is it practical to have a large number of security facilities for convicted children around the country, or is it best focused on dealing with the youth very well and ensuring those children get rehabilitated, get given skills, get to deal with any psychological problems? So would it not be better to send the child first, or even if he's sending the child first from home, remembering in many cases the families are often not wash their hands of that child. But that's one question. Then I think the act, and I think we should say, no provision for the involvement of correctional services in those secure care facilities. One of the problems at the issue was that I think that the provincial Department of Social Development officials did not have the skills to deal with difficult children. And I think that contributed to the problems of children sort of running riot. And at the moment they got put into the prison, they are calmed down. Should we continue having whilst they made a secure case that we should still be a responsibility for social development, should there not be a role for correctional services officials to assist because they're there to train deal with people who have problems with aggression and things like that. Very often social development people are not. And then the issue of the one-stop centers which the Act provides for. We've got a few, you go through this in one. I think I did hear your report comment of what about the rural areas. I think the question that also needs to be looked at is if the state then puts money into a centre, then a centre needs to be used. And the difficulty with many of the rural areas of the smaller towns is that it may only be a handful of children who come through that place a month. Does that then justify the resources? I'm surprised that there's none of those centres in any of the main neighbourhoods. Because that's generally where the volume of children can keep living more energy. The figures have been dropping, as I think you've got. Serena in Port Elizabeth had, the last financial year, 536 people have been inquiring, 138 cases, and they disposed of criminal cases. And like I said, they disposed of 3,104 cases in total. We have recently extended the jurisdiction of the region against Calipola for citizens. I understand that the government of Calipola one manager of the district, and I think that is important. And the same should be done for, I think it is done in the Mangaung and in Matasana. Mangaung was 470 from inquiries, 126 criminal cases, and disposed of 30 cases. That the client in the previous year was fined out of 141. And Matasana registered 194 new criminal inquiries, 143 criminal cases, to dispose of only the only case. I think those are really short what I'm namely the impurity in monitoring the purification. I wish you well with the deliberations, and I hope that we can come out with a lot to improve the criminal justice system of children in South Africa. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning, I'm Holly McGurk from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Thank you.
Thank you.
or the opportunity to be in a set of this case was the case of Morgan, who was a 16-year-old boy, he's in grade 10. He's a citizen of the Charter of School. He's an orphan and is in the public 24-year-old boy who was a citizen of the Morgan was at one night and very painted at the top of the world. Smaller travel for the lights got on and he's getting on home. When confronted, she admitted that he was at work. The other man had just caused 1,500 to be painted in the so that's the official one of the so the first thing that I want to look at is when a child comes at a center and is charged, they must be brought forward and brought before a preliminary inquiry in front of a magistrate. Now, there are two ways of ensuring a child is brought to a preliminary inquiry. You can find the written notice for two, a summons, and a writ. So now you can notice that the way they are listed, that a child does not have a charge to make a writ of the last option. So usually, when an adult is seen being worked before talking at first period, the usual approach that is used is for a list and some of can use some of the but then the child has it, you see that it's written notice first and then summons. So now, a written notice must be for portion one sentences, and it can be for portion two and three sentences, that's for the police officer, police official, subcontrol description, and similar circumstances. And section 18 of the Child Justice Act tells us that we want to be included in the written notice. So a written notice must specify the date, time, and place of the preliminary inquiry, and the time of the child in the presence of the requirement, appropriate adult guardian, in which case both the child and parent appropriate adult guardian must have been received by all the decisions. So, Morgan's brother would be considered an appropriate or if you consider it an appropriate for foundation. Now the difference between the written notice and the summons is that usually when the police are called to see the requirement, they can't order the written notice very well. The summons is usually used when they inform the requirement and they can investigate, then they decide to start to summon someone to the requirement. Now, as we've already said, a writ is a bad option. We do not have a prescription one, and a writ is an opportunity to be resolved, and it's often shipped to and to the benefit as well. If a written note is to be handed out to a child, but the parents are there, the police officials can just hand the written note to the child, but then hand it over to the parents as well. So now, this is a little bit of a where the child is saying, potentially committed at school, so the child is school and then the parents at work, but then it still must be notification of the child is very important. Now, we have said that a risk can happen, and it should allow to that few responses. So section 22 tells us the reasons why something can be arrested. So whether the police officer has reason to believe that the child has a sensitivity to the offenses, whether the police officer has reason to believe that the child is committed to commit offenses, whether the police officer has reason to believe that the child was exposed to the offense in the other person, or whether the offense is in the course of being committed, or whether the offense is committed in the circumstances that are in the situation. So in all these cases, it should be one of it. So we can see when the police notice. And then Lisa is a special teacher, but then she's a much younger child, so she could either be given a written notice before she was told any family or the child, or she could be arrested if she wasn't to any of the elderly in the district of the act. Then the next slide. So let's say that both Lisa and Morgan have been arrested and have been taken to court itself. Then the next issue is whether to release them or to further detain them before the preliminary inquiry, if they were to stay before the preliminary inquiry. So now, section 21 of the Child Justice Act deals with the options that are available by the police prosecutor and the court if they haven't received before the preliminary inquiry. Now, the police must release the section 1 of the sentence is called. But then in section 21 of the rules, the prosecutor may authorize the release of the child in jail if the decision was approved. But if now that reason is in difficulty, then you have to ask yourself what happens if you're one of the sentences you give the prosecutor when there's a barrier later have to put an end in, but the act that came to be released, so it could be released for something that you think is an issue or seriously. The act is that when she goes to the preliminary inquiry, the magistrate there can decide to release her when she goes to the complaint. And then the problem is she was finished the full 8 hours in the police house, and she could have been released if she was in the hospital in the setting. Because the condition of the police department in, the condition is that a police official, if the child is still in the police cell, the child may have a police in the police cell, and then we need to do the inquiry. The tenant can sometimes find a new tenant, and if it's not an issue, then we have to do it. And then that will completely cover the situation. So, something to consider for popularity in the police cell. And then if we go on to the next slide, it talks about a certain evaluation. So before a child goes into the preliminary inquiry, they must present to the probation officer. Now the probation officer has said earlier mentioned earlier social service, social service, and life support. And the usual trend in question is that probation officers will see a child when they have support. So on the fourth day, preliminary inquiry, fourth day, just before they go into the area, the probation officer will assess the child then. There are some cultural specializations that may be possible if you have much earlier, but then that is more exception than we need. So as I mentioned before, there are different reasons for assessment, so it's to determine the specific house of the child, determine if the child can be diagnosed, and determine if the child is a child in the care and protection. And then section 78 when we talk about who needs to attend the assessment. And then section 78 tells us that the probation officer cannot ask for this to be part of the assessment. So it could be the child's parents, appropriate guardians, appropriate adults and guardians, as well as the language provider, the researcher, or any other person who is necessary for the child to be assessed. Now, the parent or guardian can be mentioned as an attending that an assessment is. The probation officer feels that this person would contribute anything or would be needed to support in the situation. And then the next slide, we talk about migration, and this is still before the decision is required. Now, as I mentioned before, migration is a new feature of our law in the sense that this is the first time it's been written into the legal system. So it's been applied for a tough basis, but this is the first time it's written into the law. It can happen in 3 different steps. It can happen prior to the inquiry, and this can be done by the prosecutor in terms of schedule 1 offenses. It can happen after the inquiry in terms of schedule 1 and 2 offenses. If the prosecutor says that you have to attend to that process, and of course, you have other offenses. And then it can also happen in the schedule 2 offenses later that after a couple of decisions. Now, the different things to consider when you are likely to be diverted, one of them is that a child needs to have a responsibility for the crime. So, in our hypothetical cases, of the children that need to create an ethical war, then he can be diverted by a procedure. These are not to what she calls the children's key effects, what she has to do with the very entire that we haven't seen. She can be diverted even by a substitution then we go to the preliminary inquiry. So now the schedule 2 and 3 offenses go to the preliminary inquiry, and the schedule 1 needs to go to the preliminary inquiry. Now, the preliminary inquiry is meant to be a very important process. So instead of going, you know, sort of aware of the process where a child is going to make a decision, then it goes to the preliminary inquiry, then it goes to the trial. The different person who is in the system, and then it goes to trial. The preliminary inquiry comes in and the whole aim of the preliminary inquiry is for the magistrate to sit down and look at the circumstances of the child is in, or the circumstances of the case that has been brought to the law, the circumstances of the child. Is this a child that needs to go on the trial, or is that version of the evidence that's going to be attached to this change or a social situation or in the family and to be on. Now, we talked about how we start talking to people, we talked about the psychological issues, but then I feel that a magistrate hearing the community is quite simple to start to release the child. So, if the child has not a responsibility and the magistrate is not being diverted, then the magistrate stops the matter and sends to a counsel for the child. But then, what they can also do in that is they can release the child into the care of the parent, or the child should be paying the family. So these are things you know for teen family services people, so they should be sent to a child in the care center. Morgan has been in the children one time. He has already released the child, and his brother is probably an appropriate adult. But then he can use them as kids, teens have been sent to a child in the care center. And then the man has also been asked to the child that he's called. So for me, I have an opinion about this, the child cannot be in my life. They go over to the child. Now the child that is forced by operates don't very differently from the way the whole thing now operates. So any point where the child appears is considered the child that is forced, and the purpose is in the act of the follow. So it can be an advocate forced and it's just a moment it's going to be powerful. So now it should be really forced to think of the type of trying to have information. Now there's also rules about how often a child must appear before the child. So if a child has been sent to prison and has to appear every 14 days, if a child has been sent to have a new parent or a secure system, they must appear every 30 days. And if they haven't been staying in a prison, that's a child from us to appear every 14 days. Now, this is important for children who have been sent to prison and who have been sent to have a new parent, because the judge will have a chance to ask what's going on with the child, what is the intention, like, how is he being abused. If the child has been released with a bill, the question is whether the child still needs to be with intention for the bill, can you reduce the amount of the bill or have to be set? And this is where the Dream for Lunch story is. Now, you remember the Dream for Lunch story very high profile case, but one thing they know is that this is a very, very high profile case of the bill of the child justice. And this case is important because one of the women accused the child, and that she's of acts of the child that is acts of when a child and an adult are brought together in the same child in the presence of the attack. A form of private provision of the child that is acts in the presence of the child, and the provision of the figure of the act in the presence of the adult. The Supreme Court of Justice goes on to say that no person is concerned of any decision of child justice. And the single person who is afraid of committing such a proceeding for the child that is forced, or the driving officer has got a team or a commission to visit. Now, because the abuse of the child story was very high profile, there were a lot of media outlets on the child story. So media can communicate and other media accounts applied to the high court in the middle of the murder trial that went on. But then this whole application came in, and the media can report that we want to see the end of the trial. We think that this is because in the public interest, even in the trial, it's not the public interest, but the one in the trial. Now, one of our rules for people in the public interest is that any case involving a trial must be heard in camera. That means only people necessary in the trial will sit in the court and nobody else allowed to be in. So the center for trial law is essentially we can only take an action against the case with a small application having what else is for the court for a child, right? That doesn't mean the court is going to be still this camera and it's going to be still this people and the defendant set the limits that he can use in the courtroom. So at the end of the day, court is having a reason to issue a trial to the end of the trial, right? That will be allowed for what the trial to achieve the training and the training of the professors that are conference. It's really aligned with the child justice act. And then another issue comes up in the child justice act, it's going to be through the teacher act, where it says that when a child is friend or a child is not school under 18 and she reports to the teacher, then the teacher should not be punished. Now this is going to take some of the learning that comes in. Now this is learned. Was a child who kidnapped her, she was a baby, and found her 15 years later. Now she is a potential witness in the kidnapping case, but
They are America and Indonesia Christian Social Workers Report. In research we've done, we actually see that we believe that South Africa has 51,000 social workers short. Which will create a problem. Because in the presentation, it was the third that we thought a child, we thought a preliminary requirement, these children are assessed by probation officers who are genuine social workers and workers providing them with autonomous social development. And there is a serious shortage in this regard. And in the oversight that we've done, the family advocate office that deals with custody is really unfunctional or very inefficient. So because of the situation where welfare organizations are expected to deal with it without any remuneration, what kind of shortfall in the system is this creating? Thank
you.
Thank you.
We discussed this on the multiple step of the especially what you can probably think about, but imagine fewer children and ages in the justice system as such. In other words, you can probably get fewer children out of the child. If the might not, you don't know, because you're going to have to see your children in the age of 10 and 12 to work with the church in public domain. So, it might be true for the children of the child. In other words, it might be much like the community. And they want to actually see the school of the children who stay in the children, funds, and money.